Good afternoon and welcome to Concordia Abstracts. I'm John Beaker, and today we have as our guest Dr. Norman Nagel, Professor of Systematic Theology here at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. The son of missionary parents, Dr. Nagel was born in mainland China, but spent most of his early life in Australia, where he attended the University of Adelaide and Concordia Seminary, Adelaide, South Australia. He then traveled to the United States, where he attended Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and received a Master of Divinity degree in 1953. Journeying to Europe, he studied at the University of Erlangen in West Germany, and subsequently attended the University of Cambridge, Cambridge, England, where he earned a Doctorate of Philosophy. During his time in England, Dr. Nagel served also as preceptor of Westfield House, a school for Lutheran students at Cambridge, and likewise as the pastor of the Luther Tyndale Congregation, the mother church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. In 1968, he was called to serve as university preacher and dean of the Chapel of the Resurrection at Valparaiso University. Finally, in 1983, Dr. Nagel was called to teach systematics here at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Thus, Dr. Nagel is well known as a pastor, teacher, and scholar, and likewise for his English translations of the works of 20th century German Lutherans, which brings us to our topic for today. Recently, Concordia Publishing House has released the first volume of what is to be a three-volume collection of the essays of Hermann Sasse, translated by Dr. Nagel. The collection is entitled We Confess. And today we're going to discuss who Hermann Sasse was and what it means to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Dr. Nagel, would you please describe for our listeners a little bit about Hermann Sasse and how he fits into the overall picture of European history, and particularly that of German European Lutheranism?
Well, he was born in 1895 in an out-of-the-way sort of place, Sonnenwalde in Lower Lusatia. You won't find it on an ordinary map. There he was born, baptized, and had his boyhood. But he really came alive when he became a student at the University of Berlin. There were such intellectual giants as Harnack and Hall and Deismann. And he was made alive with such keenness as a student in the study of theology as carried him through all his days. He loved to quote the ancient Greek liturgy where the word theology is used as what the angels do in heaven in praise of God. So he saw the commitment of his life. But the profound commitment came when, after seven semesters at the University of Berlin, he went to serve on the Western Front, 1916 to 18. There, in the trenches and the mud, the prideful view of the world and of man that had prevailed before the First World War just didn't hold. There, man faced the final questions. What really holds? Is it all just a senseless mess? In the trenches, Sasse read Luther. And with Luther's help, he faced the fact that finally it's how it is with us before God that matters. What God says of us, not what we say of him. He loved to quote Luther's words from those days of his reading in the trenches. It is all up with man, so learn to despair of yourself and have your hope in Christ. After the war, he then pursued his theological studies further and was ordained in 1920. He served for 13 years as a pastor in Berlin. He was the Sozialpfarrer of St. Mary's Church in Berlin. And it was during those years that he first came to know the American scene. In 1925 to 26, he was at the Hartford Theological Seminary in Connecticut. And it was during that time that he particularly studied the works of Löhr, for Löhr was instrumental in helping many of the emigrants to this country who were foundational for those Lutheran churches in this country which grew out of the confessional revival in the early 19th century. And that was the key for Zassi's reading of the American Lutheran scene. Men like Löhr and Walther, Iowa and Ohio. With that experience, then giving a larger view to the range of his thinking of the way of the Lutheran confession of Christ through the world, he returned to Germany and was involved in the top-level ecumenical endeavors of those days. He was German representative at the meeting in Lausanne in 1927 of the Conference on Faith and Order, one of the milepost meetings in the ecumenical endeavor, and he was himself responsible for the German report on that occasion. That brought him into contact with churchmen from all over the world. And it was with theologians of that stature that he joined to contribute to a volume that was edited by Bishop Bell, the Bishop of Chichester, heavily involved also in the ecumenical endeavor, that was called Mysterium Christi, Christological Studies by British and German Theologians. And it was in that volume that there first appeared Zassi's first published treatment of the theme, Jesus is the Lord. And that then indicates also the strength out from which he read the situation that developed in Germany when the Nazis came to power. He was first leading churchmen to warn against the Nazis, what they were pridefully saying about man as offense to God and untruth about man. Sassi in the Feuerblatt, 1932, said this is incompatible with the confession that Jesus is the Lord. That immediately put him under suspicion with the Nazis. And when he came then in to take up his professorship at the University of Erlangen in 1933, he was not permitted to give his inaugural lecture. He was advised by his colleagues told that they couldn't be making too much fuss about that. He'd better lie low. He was covered by his colleagues and the faculty there, and so he continued his work as a professor through those years. When he had an opportunity in 1936 to go to Paris for another ecumenical conference, he sent in his passport for his visa, and the Nazis kept his passport. They would not return it to him, and so he was virtually imprisoned in his own country, unable to travel out again. A couple of years later, he received a call, I think it was to Dubuque in this country, and the Nazis said they would give him back his passport and a visa to go to America, but not to his wife. A sort of devilish torture the Nazis were capable of. So he stayed, carried on his witness and his lecturing, enormously popular among the students in Erlangen in those days. Erlangen, that university in Germany which knows itself more than others to be in the stream of that confessional revival from the beginning of the 19th century. There were such men as Proksch and Ehlert, Althaus, or his colleagues there. And then, after the war, he left Germany and went to a post in Australia, where he made the great contribution that he did there in the bringing together of the two churches and in the training of a generation of pastors.
In his first essay of this volume, entitled Jesus Christ is Lord, the Church's Original Confession, what exactly does he point out that confession is in Scripture, as Scripture describes it?
I suppose one can... Well, he does it, of course, exegetically, from the text of the New Testament. He was trained first as a New Testament scholar, and then came into church history, and finally a major contribution in doctrinal theology. And so he looked carefully at the word to confess. And in the Greek, homolegein is to say the same thing. But what is said is not something that we make up or decide about, but what is said to us, we say the same back to God. And that gives the God-relatedness, God-centeredness, the liturgical setting, together with Christ's people in the liturgy, acclaiming him as the Lord who speaks to us through his word and with his word bestows his gifts, and then we acclaim him as such a one. And with the saying of the creed, Zassi points out, we are fessing up. What's the foundation of our lives? What's that by which we live? That's what we stake our lives on. It's no pretty thought in the head, but laying your life on the line when you confess the creed, and the creed in its sort of shortest and earliest form that we have in the New Testament of Jesus is the Lord.
When we confess that Jesus is Lord, what do we mean by Lord? What does that word mean?
In the New Testament, it's only two words, Kyrios Jesus, Lord Jesus. The word Kyrios is the word that was used when the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew to Greek. The Greek Kyrios is the translation of the name of God in the Old Testament. And so to confess Jesus is the Lord is to confess him in identity with the same one who's been running the show all the way, and the one who is toward us as we know him to be in Jesus, the one on the cross for us. But what's wrong with us isn't that we have problems. The biggest thing isn't that we have problems with our economic, social, or political setup. Jesus is more than a resource for doing a bit better with those things. Zassi had come to see the ultimate questions of how it is with a man before God, and their man is a sinner, and the only hope for him is that there might be forgiveness. And forgiveness only God can give. And that there is forgiveness is what Calvary says. And that is ours and we are his is all wrapped up then in this confession that Jesus is the Lord.
Zassi points out that the New Testament never attempts to report the actual event of the resurrection. It merely reports that there was an empty tomb and that there were witnesses to seeing Jesus after the resurrection. Why were these appearances so essential to early Christians and to their faith, and why were they considered repulsive to the Greek mindset?
I suppose with the Greek mindset, one might be suggesting, the proud thought of man that it's what he can measure, and by what he can measure, he can have the control of, that is the size of things.
Mm-hmm.
And if one is taking it from the Lord, then it's not what we have to say about things or the size of our saying, but what he says. And there is in Good Friday and Easter what we could never manage to measure, or the nonsense of trying to get control of. There we are nothing but being dealt with by being given to what's he's there for us. And to know ourselves at the receiving end of that is to know how God is toward us. And within that forgiveness and the life that is enlivened from there, from such a Lord, it is the confidence with which we live our lives. And the living of our lives is the statement of our creed.
But is it in the resurrection that Jesus is our Lord, or is it in crucifixion?
Yes, one way of trying to get a hold of things and somehow we'll manage and have the say-so is to pull things apart and say, we'll have this but not that, or this is the big thing, not that. It's all together in Jesus doing it. There are stories of dead men coming alive again, expressions of human hope that death doesn't make the final end. The good news of Jesus isn't that a dead man came alive again, but it's that the crucified one arose from the dead. He who had carried the full weight of our sins, answered for them, was not thereby destroyed. He came through. He'd done it. And as the risen Lord, he is more than we can put our measurements around or get control of. He's the one who now lives on as he gives his Spirit to bestow all of those gifts to us with the words that tell and convey and bestow Jesus, the crucified and the risen, and all that he achieved for us by that, so that then we have a certainty which isn't anywhere dependent on any say-sos of ours, but only on the one who's the Lord. That's to call him the Lord. It's from him for sure.
We've tied in Jesus with the God of the Old Testament, with Yahweh and Kurios, but how is Jesus tied in with the Holy Spirit, and how does that affect us?
I suppose we need to recall how Zasse unpacks the meaning of confession, to say the same back to God as he has said to us. And so with regard to the Holy Spirit, we may only confess, say the same as has been said to us. And Jesus promised his disciples that the Spirit would guide them in their wording the message out. Jesus said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." And so with the words that carry Jesus and his gifts, the Holy Spirit is alive to bring them home to us and make them alive in us. For these gifts of the living Christ are living gifts and enliven us, so that we know ourselves to be made alive. And so we confess the Holy Spirit as Lord and as the one who makes alive. And that he does as he brings to be ours, that is the birth of faith, the receiving of the gifts of all that Christ lived and died and rose again, to be ours.
Is there a Holy Spirit apart from the gifts that he delivers?
We are told of no such spirit. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is spoken of only in the church and as the one who makes us alive with the gifts of Christ. You may recall from the Montanist heresy where they said they had Christ and something more. They claimed a spirit more than Christ. And that was repudiated because we are given to know, to confess, and to rejoice in the working of no other spirit than the Spirit of Christ.
And so we can say that we have a located spirit. The spirit is not floating around out there somewhere, and we're not sure where it is, but it's located in the Word and in the sacraments, the wording out of the forgiveness of sins.
That says it beautifully.
Could you briefly summarize what we've discussed concerning Jesus Christ as Lord?
Well, not so much perhaps a summary to wind it up, but rather to push it forward, to open it up. When you've been through the Zassi essay on Jesus is the Lord, you are underway through the whole story and the whole range of resources. As church historian Zassi shows, this confession from the New Testament on, alive in the church, and that every confession of Christ is really wrapped up in this primary confession, the shortest and the first one, of Jesus is the Lord, and what that all means in confession and in the way we live our lives is traced on then from the beginning through the whole family of those who confess Jesus is the Lord on to where we are. And we are not as sort of finished, but open-ended toward all the larger living it all out that's there for those from Christ, his Spirit. Those who confess Jesus is the Lord.
Dr. Nagel, thank you very much for being our guest today. It's been a very enlightening, upbuilding discussion, as I'm sure it has been for our listeners. Herman Sassi certainly did stand in the Christian faith by confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's great now that his essays will be in English so that those who don't understand German can read them and learn from them. Once again, thank you for being our guest, and we hope to have you back again soon.
Thank you.
I'm John Vicker, and this has been Concordia Abstracts from the Department of Seminary Relations at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Thank you.